Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. This 21st chapter has Jesus entering Jerusalem, you know that story, and then right prior to these words in our lesson, Jesus has been in the temple and overthrowing the money carts and driving out the changers. So now, when Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, tax collectors and prostitutes are going into the dominion of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. Kind of use a technical term in this sermon, legitimation crisis. It comes out of something called critical social theory, but it's a clear concept of people questioning the authority of their governing powers when there are questions about who's being served and who isn't being served. In our lesson today, the political leaders have a crisis. The crowds are in the streets. Now, they had this problem earlier with John the Baptist. The crowds had listened to John. And even now, after John's death, the leaders are afraid of the crowds, who regarded John as a prophet, as someone who brought good news and the truth. The rulers didn't want to say anything about John that might upset the crowds. But now it's happening again. Jesus has come to town, come with great acclamation, as I mentioned as a precis to the reading. You know the story. We relive it on Passion Sunday of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem with garments strewn in the aisle as he comes and branches of olive leaf. And they all shout out, "This is the prophet of Nazareth," they say, Jesus. And then the next day is that fateful day of Jesus upsetting the commerce of the temple, overturning the various ways of employment and making money there. Out go the money changers. And Jesus, instead of doing financial business in the holy place, Jesus does really the will of God, brings life. As it says, heals the blind and the lame. So John and Jesus and the crowd, The leaders most certainly have a crisis. So they ask about Jesus' authority. By what authority are you doing all this stuff? But they're really worried about their own authority, their own positions of power. They question Jesus. They really are challenging him. They really want to dishonor him. They want to give him or ensnare him in a linguistic trap, into a response that will, in fact, undermine his authority, dishonor him before the people, delegitimize him as a leader. If Jesus says that his authority comes from God, well, the leaders plan to accuse him of blasphemy. As I said, their goal is to dishonor and delegitimize Jesus before the people, before the crowd, so people won't follow him. Make no mistake, it is the crowds that the leaders are worried about. Without the crowds behind, their positions are jeopardized. Their power and authority is eroded. And they're particularly vulnerable because their power and authority, these things are ultimately conferred by the Roman Empire, which expects them to control the crowds. They have a true legitimation crisis because they are not being simply challenged by someone or a group that wants to take over power. For instance, later on in the story when there's this option between Barabbas and Jesus. Barabbas is a guy who wanted power. He wanted to overthrow the government. It's not what Jesus is about. And he's not simply a charismatic figure that's looking for his own aggrandizement. If that's all Jesus or John had been, they wouldn't be a threat. But the rulers are being challenged by someone who speaks with the authority of God, who acts with the authority of God, who encounters all people with the authority of God. That is with God's intention of life, forgiveness, and the promise of life. And the point isn't whether he would claim so or not. We know that throughout, Jesus claims nothing for himself. The point has already been demonstrated in the temple and throughout the whole land of his ministry. Jesus is bringing healing, feeding, and welcome. A new rule. Both he and John begin their ministry, you recall. Repent, that is, change your minds. The dominion of God is at hand. A new rule is at hand. His actions and words have caused a crisis of legitimation for the ruling structures. That is, temple rulers and the Roman rulers. Jesus' saving actions among the people raise the question of why it is that the prevailing structures and those who occupy them do not work to bring life for the people. By the rulers' attitudes toward the baptism of John, the rulers show that they were fundamentally interested in themselves, their own authority, their power, their aggrandizement, in saving themselves, if you will, and ignoring the life of others, ignoring the very call of God to bring life. Jesus is looking for the rulers to change their minds. That's the point of the little parable that comes after about working in the vineyard. In Jesus and his word and authority from God, they have the opportunity to turn around, to repent, to become legitimate, to bring life to others, to change the structures of rule, the structures of law, to bring life, not just to bring power to themselves. The tax collectors and prostitutes will go first. Why is that? The tax collectors, it's not that they were collecting taxes, it's just that a lot of them, unfortunately, cheated the people. But the tax collectors and prostitutes believed John. They believed Jesus. They changed their mind. They changed their ways. They believed that John and Jesus came in the way of righteousness. That is, right relationship with God and with neighbor, with others. Changing their minds mean that they followed this way of righteousness. In a true reversal, true flipping around of the world, they actually became more legitimate as leaders of society than these powerful folks. That's why Jesus again says that the tax collectors and sinners will go into the dominion of God ahead of the so-called rulers who refuse to believe. But now, The invitation to change is before them. The conversation of truth is before them. Christ is before them. New life is before them. But they will not listen. They will not change. They have tried to settle this problem of Jesus and the truth of themselves and the structures which sustain them with language. Let's see if we can finesse this language first. They seek to distort Jesus' own words, calling truth lies. Label one who comes from God as one who speaks blasphemy against God. But when the distortion of language and conversation does not work, will not work, when the violence of lies does not control others, then physical violence must follow. So the truly innocent one, the man of truth, the giver of life, the Son of God, will be crucified. But the crucifixion will not be the last word. Jesus' resurrection and his forgiveness and the promise of life that it brings will continue to change hearts and minds and call us to bring life to others. Now, this retelling of the story, I do it with echoes of crowds in our streets, locally, nationally, internationally. The question of legitimate authority is being raised. The crowds are in the streets. The question of structural flaws in our policing and judicial systems is being raised. We are living ourselves with a legitimation crisis. Who lives? Who dies? We are living in a time in which the systematic distortion of language is ascendant, particularly on the national level. The truth is often warped and twisted. Flat-out lies often are used to delegitimize some and maintain the power of others. And even internationally, judging from recent revelations of the extensive use of Facebook by Russian operatives, we are experiencing a systematic distortion of language used to legitimize our own elections and society. We retell, we relive, we find our place in this ancient story, this eternal story, because it speaks the truth of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection to us, and that we are called individually and corporately to examine our lives, to change our minds. We are called to change our minds by the power of God's love for us in Christ Jesus, by God's forgiveness and promise of life in Christ Jesus. And we are called to challenge and change our structures when they favor some over others. We are called, sisters and brothers, to give life in the name of Jesus. Amen.